Most gracious and almighty God, what an incredible prayer. And Father, we know that whatever Jesus asks, you grant. So it is, Father, that we know that you gave him the fullness of this petition, and he passed it on to us. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this is really where we come to this day when we talk about this incredible transformation that has taken place in this world, is to understand that this is what Jesus Christ sought from his Father. Jesus sought this transformation. He looked for this. He asked God to grant him this. And we understand that the means of this fulfillment came with his death and his resurrection, that Jesus now had fulfilled the promise that had been given, that one day this restoration would take place, that the race of the fallen Adam, which had now fallen away from God, would be restored to God once and for all, and that union would be made complete, and that now there would no longer be any division between God and humankind, that now God would step across that chasm, so to speak, and God would enter into humanity, and God would take upon himself the ills of humanity, and God would lay down his son's life in order to fulfill the obligation so that now the restoration would be complete. And that's what I'm telling you. The restoration is complete. The restoration is complete. And the restoration is exactly as he says. The restoration is in us. The restoration has now come to fruition. What Jesus asked for from here, what he asked for in this prayer, God granted him. And he fulfilled this on the cross at Calvary, so that now we would live in an entirely new way. We would live in a restored life. And this is what he's talking about here. He says, now I'm coming to speak these things. I'm speaking these things in this way because I'm coming to you, but I want these people to be happy. Heavens to Betsy that that should ever happen. That we should be a happy group of people. But this is exactly what he said. That they would have my happiness fulfilled in themselves. That they would see and they would know my joy. So that they would rejoice. You see, and that's what drives me crazy about Lent. Why would we ever dwell on Jesus' misery? He didn't say, I want you to dwell on my misery. He never asked us to do that. We tried to tell him, we're more religious if we dwell on your misery. If we make up movies that make you even more miserable, then somehow we're more religious. And that's the exact opposite of what he said. What he asked for is that we would understand, that we would see the joy that was set before him. And that joy was our salvation. That we would share in his joy and his happiness. And he says, that's why I gave them the word. I gave them my word. I gave them your word. And he says, and the world can't understand this. It hates them for that reason, because they can't relate to it anymore. They can't relate to this weird misery thing, because now they've been transformed. Now they don't relate to the world in the same way. The world cannot beat them down. The world cannot own them. The world cannot stop them from having their joy. The only thing that stops us is us. The only thing that stops us from having this joy is us. We stop us. We think somehow or another. Gerhard Ferdi always uses this great illustration about being justified by grace through faith. He says it's like this big reactor. And we have this nuclear reactor, and it's got dampening rods. And every time anybody really wants to blow up the reactor, we're trying to shove in the dampening rods. We're trying to say, well, no, you can't, don't, no, you can't be that. You can't really, honestly, simply believe that God saved you, so now you can be happy with your life. You need to run through your life whacking yourself in the head with a 2x4 on occasion if you think that you are that happy. And that's precisely the problem. We want to put the dampening rods back in the reactor. And God says, just let that thing blow. Let people understand. This is what Jesus is talking about. They're not of the world. They don't relate to the world anymore. The world doesn't govern them. Their joy is in something far greater, something that transcends that. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. He says, what I'm asking you to do is to keep them there. Keep them. And keep them from the evil that comes in. He says, because they're not of that. He says they have a new existence, a new way of living. He says, in the same way that I have a new existence. And he says, so sanctify them, which means to consecrate them. To understand very clearly, they've been set aside for your purpose is what that means. They're set aside for your purpose. Sanctify them through that reality. This is a new reality, he says. Your word is that reality. He says, your word is that reality. When we face our understanding of ourselves in the world, we don't go to the world to define our understanding. We go to the word. The word tells us who we are. We are the purchase of God through the blood of his only begotten Son. We are the righteousness of God by the Lord who became sin for us. We are spotless and holy in his sight. We have been given this marvelous perfection through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And his very Holy Spirit indwells us to testify to that reality. Does that not make us at least a little happy? Doesn't that give us this sense of joy that says to us, as a matter of fact, there is no circumstance on the face of this planet that can change that. There's nothing that can ever take that away. So he says, consecrate them in that. Consecrate them. Tell them very clearly, they've been set apart by me. And he says, and so, he says, as you sent me into the world, he says, I'm sending them. And now you know what you're doing here. That's what you're doing here. You are sent into this world to bring the world the joy of God in Jesus Christ. We have been sent into the world as Jesus came into the world to give this glorious announcement of the salvific work of God, that people would know that now, oh yeah, you can just freely come to him. You can just freely come to him. The door is wide open. You can just freely come to him. And he will openly and freely receive you. And this is exactly what he's talking about here. And that's why we need to understand this guy, St. Patrick. You see, we don't know enough about St. Patrick. We think he's just like green beer or something like that, you know? Like some sort of party animal. St. Patrick was one of the most amazing Christian people on the face of this earth. What we don't understand is he was actually carried off in a raid by Irish raiders. He was actually enslaved in Ireland. He escaped, went back to Britain. He actually went into the monastery and he learned about the Christian faith. He was converted to the Christian faith. He went and became a Christian convert. And when he was converted, he was so moved by God for his Irish captors that he went back to Ireland freely in order to preach the gospel to them. My gosh, they had held him in slavery. And he was so moved by compassion for the Irish, he didn't drive the snakes off the island. He went to Ireland in order to convert the Irish. And guess what? He did. He did. And that's why he's the patron saint of Ireland. And we wear our little green. Because we understand very clearly, it's not St. Patrick, it's Jesus. What motivated St. Patrick was this thing right here. As you were sent into the world, as you sent me, he says, so I sent them. And St. Patrick went back to Ireland and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Irish believed him. You see, we need to understand the power that we have in this world. What that joy and that compassion can do. Because that joy and compassion can change whole nations. It can change everything in this world. And this is why Jesus prayed this. He says, for their sakes, he says, I consecrate myself. In other words, I'm putting myself in this position. He says, it will be my life that does this for them. I will lay down my life. He says, so that they would be consecrated in that reality. They would know your goodness and your grace when they see that I'm raised from the dead. And he says, and I'm not just praying for them. You know, one of the weirdest things, I think, is Billy Graham thought he was talking about people from outer space. He's not. When he says this, he's not talking about people from outer space. He says, I'm not just praying for these alone. He says, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What he was talking about is the Gentiles. He said, I'm not just praying for this group of Jewish guys. He says, I'm praying for all of the Gentiles. I'm praying for all of those, that all of these people, he says, I have sheep who are of another fold. He says, I'm praying for all of them. He says, I'm praying for all of these people so that they would all be brought in and they would all know the truth and they would all be one. Do you understand now why Satan works so hard to destroy the unity of the church? That was the one thing that he was bent on destroying because he couldn't do anything to Jesus. And the book of Revelation tells us very clearly what he went to do was to make war on the offspring. He made war on the offspring. And he made war on the offspring by deceiving them. And he deceived them so greatly that they turned upon each other. You go back into the annals of the ancient church, and it's kind of nauseating what they fight over. They fight over stupid things that they don't even really have an answer for. But they fight over them, and they decide that they're the only right ones. And once they've decided they're the only right ones, they go through the world patting themselves on the back, saying, yeah, we're the only right ones. We're the only right ones. And they don't realize they're the ones destroying the church. Even if we were the only right ones, even if we could make that claim, we should be like Daniel, who Daniel never worshiped idols, never did anything like that. But when he's in captivity, he turns to God and he prays and he says, we have sinned against you. We have done all of these things. He never separates himself out. He always understands there is this unity of faith that binds us above every other thing. And Jesus is saying, I want them all to be one. I want them to be unified in one. And he doesn't just say in like the way we think about it, you know, he says, Father, he says, in the same way you're in me, he says, and I am in you, he says, I want them to be one in us. Do we realize how deep that unity goes? That there is no ability for a human being to divide the church. The church can never be divided. The church is a singular body in Jesus Christ, and it's called the Catholicos, and I know that's terrible. Now he's making us Catholic. The word is Greek, and it just means the universal church. That's all it means. When you call something Catholic, you're doing it a favor, because it means that it's united to the universal church. We are of the universal church. And we need to understand that. We don't belong to some denomination. I hate to tell you. When we get to heaven and we're going to stand there and say, you know, well, don't forget, I'm one of these. St. Peter, who's not at the gate, is going to look at you and say, are you nuts? You belong to Jesus Christ. And you are known by Jesus Christ. And the name that is given you is in Jesus Christ. And the only reason that you stand is because of Jesus Christ. And he says very clearly, he says that now, he says, when the world sees this, the world will believe, as a matter of fact, that you sent me. Because there is no human organization that can survive in this way. Because humans will always divide. They will always destroy it. And Jesus says, when they see this, they'll understand that you sent me. Do you understand why now in the world that people are so disenchanted with the church? You hear this all the time from people that are out in the mission field. You tell me you want me to convert to this. He says, but I got this guy over here telling me this. I got this guy over here telling me this. And he says, and none of you people get along. He says, why would I ever be converted to that? You see, we need to understand that in this world, it is our joy in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that unites us. It is our joy, our realization of knowing the grace of God and the power of that gospel that unites us so that we can overcome all of this nonsense that we have invented that would divide people, and we can understand the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. He says, this glory, the splendor that he has received, he says, I've given it to them. Now, if you weren't happy before, would you at least be happy now? You've received the glory of the Almighty God in Jesus the Christ. Jesus says, I've given it to them. I've given them my glory. And he says, so that they would be one. So that they would be one. And then he adds this, even as we are one. You just sang, holy, holy, holy. Do you understand how they are one? He says, that they would be one as we are one. As we are one. He says, I and them, thou and me, that they may be complete in one. He says, that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Do you realize how much God, your Father, loves you? He loves you in the same way that he loves Jesus Christ, his only Son. He says, so that they would know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. I don't know how to get more happy. I don't know a more joyous message on the face of this earth. I don't know anything that's more motivating, more powerful, anything that has that power to transform like this, that changes a person. When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you realize how much God loves you, how much God loves you, and you recognize very clearly, he loves everybody that way. That's what he was trying to say. I love this world, he was saying. And he says, so I want the ones that you've given to me to be with me where I am. He says, I want them to come to heaven. He says, when their life and their work here is through, I want them to be with me in heaven. He says, that they may see my glory. He says, that they'll see my glory. And he told you, he already gave you his glory. So what he's talking about is so you'll finally be able to see yourself. And you'll recognize what he has done. And he says, because you loved me before you even founded the world. He says, before you did any of these things in your creation, he says, you had already established all of this through your love for me. And he says, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have. He says, I've known you. And he says, and these people know that you sent me. And I have told them your name. And I will constantly declare it. He says, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. He says, that love that God has given to his Son from before the foundation of the world, he says, that love that you loved me with, he says, would be in them. I think that's really good. I think that is really an amazing statement. I think it is something that is even better than the junk that we write on our Facebook pages and all the rest of this garbage for inspiration. I think if we would put anything on there, we would put this on here. That we would understand, yes, this is the reality. This is how much we say to people, well, smile, Jesus loves you. Well, do you know how much? Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that testifies that this is how much he loves us. He loves us in the same way that he loves his only begotten Son, Jesus. And in loving us, he says very clearly, he says, I want this love to be in them. And he says, and I want to be in them. And that's what God granted him. Jesus Christ is in you and with you. He is keeping you and sustaining you all the days of your life. Jesus Christ is yours by faith. And God fulfilled this prayer for him because he gave himself as the only righteous sacrifice to purchase our redemption for eternity, that through the blood of the Lamb that we would be holy and spotless in his sight forever, forever, so that the peace of God would reign in our hearts even when we face the difficulties of this world, that we would recognize, no, the world cannot rob us of our joy. It cannot take it away from us because our joy is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in us. I think St. Patrick understood that, you see? And he recognized he was not going to allow his captors, his enslavers, to die. He was going to make sure that they heard the gospel and they were saved. Because St. Patrick acted in imitation of Jesus the Christ, and he did exactly what he was given to do. And it's a lot more than green beer and dyeing the Chicago River green. It's the glory of God manifested so that it can be seen. So every time that you realize that the people of Ireland were saved, you recognize very clearly St. Patrick was just living this out. That's all. He was doing this wonderful work. And if you ever wonder what the problem with the world is today, you need to understand very clearly what it's looking for is compassion from the church. It's looking for that love. It wants to find a home where it can find rest and find peace. And in all the things that it tries to find it in, it finds none. Because the only answer is Jesus. And we have the answer. We have the answer. You see, as Jesus was sent into the world, so we have been sent to the glory of God and to the glory of his gospel. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's a wonderful day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we pray that once again, that same Spirit that led St. Patrick, that Holy Spirit that came upon him, that Father, likewise, we, filled with that same Spirit, in imitation of your Son, may be found in this world, declaring the glory that you have wrought in us through Jesus the Christ, that the world may know that you sent him, and you sent him for them, that they may come, Father, and they may receive your goodness in the gift of your Son, and know your peace through the shed blood of Jesus and by the power of his resurrection, that we all, Father, would live and live eternally. For Jesus' sake, amen.